Okay, today's daf is daf ayin. Last daf, last few lines of the sixth parak. We will start on Samach Tesma Beis, about five lines up at the bottom at the two dots, where we have the story of Ilfa. We've been speaking about the sugyas, as we know, of the Nedunya, the dowry called the Parnassa in the Gemara. And now we have the the last section of the parak before we get into other items. So we start off with Ilfa. Ilfa Tala Nafshe Be'iskira de Makusa. Ilfa hung himself, meaning he was stood up or sat himself on the mast of a sail, on the edge of a boat, and he dared people. Amar Ika to Asi, is there anyone out there to Amarli Milsa to Bei Rabbi Chiya Verboshia that could tell me something from a brisa that was organized by Rabbi Chiya and Verboshia? Velopa Shitna Le Mi Mastisan, and I can't prove it to you from the Mishnah. If you tell me a brisa, I'll tell you where the roots of this brisa are in the Mishnah, and if I can't, Nafila me iskar yevatavana, I'll jump off this boat and I'll drown myself. Meaning he was so sure it was basically a dare. We know all the roots of brises are in Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi picked which Tanaitic text deserves to be in the Mishnah, and he left out the others because he felt that they were secondary. So everything that was in the Mishnah is the basic idea of Torah Shebaal Peh that needed to be written down. And Ilfa said that if anybody could try to test me and give me a brisa that I can't find where the source of it is in the Mishnah, so then I will jump off this boat. Okay, so what exactly was the example given in the Gemara? We'll see in a minute. But first, we got to talk about Ilfa a little bit. We know Ilfa in the Gemara in Maseches Tainis, that's the Ilfa story. Tainis Chafal from an Aleph, where we know that Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were good friends, and they were leaving yeshiva, and on the way out, they took a nap. They took a nap next to a bridge, and they heard Malachim talking, and the Malachim one said to another one that said, you know, let's dump this bridge on top of these personalities because they're leaving the yeshiva, and they should be staying the yeshiva. And the other Malach says, no, one of them is going to be the next Gadol Adar, and therefore we can't drop the bridge on them. So they, all of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan wakes up and says, Ilfa, did you hear that? And Ilfa's like, what are you talking about? And Rabbi Yochanan says, did you hear that discussion? And he'd said, no. So Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, it must be they were talking about me. So Rabbi Yochanan goes back to the Beis Medrash, and Ilfa doesn't. And Rabbi Yochanan becomes the leader, the Gadol Adar, and Ilfa doesn't. Ilfa becomes a nice, honest businessman. That's the Gemara. But the Gemara clearly gives the impression that Ilfa, you know, I don't know if he wishes he would have gone back, but he was even sharper, possibly, than Rabbi Yochanan. He was a sharper individual. He just didn't go back to the base. He didn't go back and to the yeshiva. And we've used this Gemara in the past discussing one issue, which I'll just mention quickly now, and that is, why was it Ilfa's fault? You get the impression that the Gemara is like a little upset about Ilfa. Ilfa didn't hear the voice. Ilfa didn't hear the discussion of the Malachim. Only Rabbi Yochanan did. So why are we getting upset at Ilfa? And the answer the Bali Musar give is that no, really the voice was open for both to hear. It was just that Rabbi Yochanan was only the only one that was on the divine frequency. Right? He was the only one that was in tune with the Kol Hashem. Ilfa wasn't as in tune with it. He was great, but he wasn't in tune on the level of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why he didn't hear it. And the ultimate goal of our lives is to be on the divine frequency, to always hear the Kol Hashem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. But either way, this is that's the Gemara. But another point that we don't always mention when this Gemara comes up is the other element. The end of that Gemara has the same line that our Gemara has, relating to Ilfa going out to the business world and Rabbi Yochanan not. Says the Maharsha on that Gemara, Tainus Chaf Aleph, why Dafka did Ilfa go on a boat? Why did he go on a boat and say, I will jump off if you test me and I can't know the answer, says the Marsha, because Ilfa was alluding to the Gemara in Erevin that says that you want to be involved in Torah, it's lo bashamayim hi, lo v'meiv alayam hi, it's not by people who spend all their life in business, all their life out of the Beis Medrash, etc. So that's what he was saying. I'm a businessman, but I was osik b'Torah as much as I can, and therefore I'll be on this boat, but I'll show you that one kid do it. The lashon of the Marsha is I did it. That's what he's alluding to. And therefore, we know that every Jew, like the Rambam describes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, it doesn't matter what one's profession is, one has to be Osek Batorah and be Koveya Itim Batorah. Whatever the amount of time is, as long as there's a Kviyas Itim. The Chachmas Adam, an important piece in the Hagdama to the Chachmas Adam. The Chai Adam, the Chachmas Adam, the same author, the Mechutin of the Gra, the Talmud of the Gra, Avram Danzig, and he wrote Chai Adam on Arachayim issues and Chachmas Adam on Yaradeya issues. So in the introduction to the Chachmas Adam, he writes exactly connected to Ilfa. He says, Yadati ki yislachashu alai. I know that there are many people whispering out there, asking, Hagam shol banavim? A lashon when Shaul HaMelech started getting nevuah, and everybody was very, very surprised. Halo zeha ish yadanu bo. Shoy misoch le'aretz. We know that this is a businessman. V'hu b'Leipzig yoser mitesvav shonim. Right? He's been in Leipzig, right? The shuk, the marketplace, for 15 years. He's writing a sefer on Yaradeya. V'hadora he'ido lo me'ever layamu. She'ina mitzuyi lo b'tagranim v'lo b'sachranim. Says the chachach mazadam. Dalacha achi. Let me fill you in. I'm not writing this out of gaiva. I'm writing this just out of reality that you know I wrote the sefer. Kinesiasi lemer chakim lo hayel akabitz osha chalila. My goal wasn't just to become a rich man. Yoid alav adon hakol rak lefarnis bnei besi. The Yerushahi b'idei avosei hakdoshim. I have a mesora from my rebbeim and my fathers and my grandfather. He goes through all of his ancestors here, Nisgalalo Mishamayim, Bishnas Tafsamachtes. They had a dream many generations ago in my family. Shana Achas Kodem Shehischil Adavar. Rachmana Litzlan, Venirdam Bilimudo. He was in the middle of learning and he fell asleep on his sefer. Ubas Imozik Naso, and his grandmother came to him in a dream and said, there's a gzera that none of you are going to be rich for the next six generations. And that's it. He says, look, you're not going to be able to sit and be fed by others. So I'm making a living. And Baruch Hashem, he says, so that's what. He says, Baruch Hashem, Asali HaNefesh Hazem Me'odi Shlo Le'ahov Mamon. And I haven't been influenced. I'm not out there to get riches. But I'm Osik Batar V'Mitzvah as much as I can. Right? In between customers. He says, Ki Bini Asi L'Derech Daiti Aleha. Ubi Yeshiva Asi B'Chanuz Daiti Aleha. On Torah, V'Tesi Li Shafilu B'Shas Masu Matan. Pamim Harbe Hayadaiti Aleha B'Hira Pirusho O Kuntris O Kushio V'Prat B'Shisha Mitzvah Asesha Kasafti B'Chelek Aleph. I'm always thinking about Torah, even though I'm involved. And therefore, I'm not writing this. Right? Because, you know, I hold myself higher than you. But just realize that this is a safe fare that at least you should reckon with, and at least you should take seriously. Etc. And he continues, Chalila lozeu aderech haTorah, v'chiyuv zeh b'chaleis v'chalzman. He continues, but this is exactly what Ilfa felt. Ilfa says, I'm a businessman, but I'm osik b'Torah as much as I can, and therefore, it's possible to know Torah in that context as well. There's one other source related. This is somewhat of an autobiographical implicit comment. The Margolius Hayam, written by Reuven Margolius on Sanhedrin, right, one of the major Svarim that we have on Masechet Sanhedrin. We don't have too many Svarim of his on Shas. We have right here on Sanhedrin. So the Hakdama, he has two pages of Hakdama there. He quotes this Gemara of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, and then he quotes that the Gemara even starts off by saying there's a story of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't say Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. It says Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, which also gives the impression that Ilfa was the one that was sharper. And then he quotes that Ilfa went to be a businessman, but realized he was what we would call a learner-earner. Right? He says, Yada Ilfa, ki amnam lo timsa alacha psuka ra la maisa b'sachranim v'tagranim, but he was Osek Batorah B'Mitzvos, and he did everything he can to write the Sefer, and throughout Chazal, he quotes Yerushalmis and Gemaras and Midrashim. Ilfa comes up, and we have Ilfa's Svarim, Pinkasei de Ilfe, the Yerushalmi and Maizrus. He says, he wasn't the Rosh Hashiva, but don't aval Ilfa ino chafetz klalamloch. He didn't want to be the Rosh Hashiva. He just wanted to learn and be Osek Batorah. That's it. That's the whole introduction. It doesn't relate it to why he's talking about this in his introduction. But it's clearly autobiographical there. Reuven Margolius also. He wasn't the great, the Rosh Yeshiva, but he quoted this story in his Akdama as if to say, you know, the same thing that the Chachmas Adam is saying. So this is all Ilfa, right? This is background. So that's the first line that we're going to do today. So Ilfa put himself on top of a boat, and he said, if anybody has a brisa that I can't prove it from a Mishnah, so I will fall off this, I will fall off this boat, v'tavana, and I will be drowned. Also important topic, the relationship to brises and Mishnayos, but we'll leave that for now. So Asa Husaba, there was a certain older man, Tanale, he learned this brisa. Ha'omer tnu shekel libni b'shabes, man says that a person, Bezdin, should take care of my children after he dies, and give them a shekel each week. Give them a shekel. V'ru'uyin li'tein lam sela. But really, the truth of the matter is, they needed two shekelim. They needed a sela. So what do? The man says, give my children each a shekel a week, and really they need two shekelim a week. Nosen lam sela. You give him the two shekel. Because you assume this is what he wanted. You assume that he was just trying to make sure his children were taken care of. Rashi explains, really his children get all of his property after he dies. Yerusha, Daraisa. But he didn't want them to get it all at one time. Right? He thought they might lose it. He thought they might use it. So therefore he said, you know, give him, at least for the beginning, give him this amount each week, and then eventually you'll give him the rest. So if he says give him a shekel, you'll have to give him more. The imamar, but if he said, al titnu lohem el a shekel, but if he says only give them a shekel, limiting it to a maximum, a nosin lohem el a shekel. So then you only give him a shekel. Then it's clear he doesn't want to give them more, and it's his money right at this point. So he can make whatever tonight he wants, so you only give him the shekel. Rashi asks, what do you mean? Didn't we have earlier the Adaf Memches that a person can't say before he dies, don't bury me from my own possessions? A person is not allowed to throw himself, so to speak, on the tzibur. You have to use his property. And we don't listen to him there. We bury him from his own possessions. So Rashi says, well, there, he is saying his money, what he needs to do, so that he can't do. He can't say, don't use my money for my need. That's why Bezek can come in and say, tough, we're going to use your money to bury you. But here, what is he doing? He's preventing his children from getting the money. So that's in his power. That's in his power to do. So therefore Rashi says, that's the difference between the two cases. So, back to the Gemara. Vim Amar, the Brisa continues, Vim Amar, im mesu Yeshua chareyem tachteyem, if the father also added on by saying, if his children should die, then other people should get the possessions, meaning he's putting a tnai before it goes to his children, to who it should go to after the children. So then, Bein Shamar Tznu, Bein Shamar Al Tznu, then it doesn't matter what lashon he says, Einosan Lamel HaShekel. Then you only give them the lower amount, because it's clear that he cares about what happens to this money. He's being exact in his wording. So that's the brisa. They said to Ilfa that, you know, the Husaba says, which Mishnah is related to this brisa? So Amar Leis, so Ilfa says, that's clear. Hamani, Rabbi Meiri, it's Rabbi Meir Shita, to Amar, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. It's Rabbi Meir Shita who says that it's a mitzvah to follow through on what the meis says. Rashi says that means our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that we had yesterday doesn't say that exact Lashon, but it says, Yaseh Shlish Masha Hushlash Biyado. So that's the Lashon, that's the same idea of Rabbi Meir, Mitzvah L'Kayim, Divrei Hames. Let's continue for a little bit, and then what's an important line to talk about. Amar Avchista, Amar Mar Ukva, Hilchasa, Bein Shamar Tzu, Bein Shamar Altitznu, Nosan Lahem Kol Tzarcham. Right, Halacha L'maisa, you give them whatever they need. Even if he says Altitznu, the limiting Lashon, you give the children whatever they need. V'hakayim Alon, Halacha Rabbi Meir, Damar, Mitzvah L'kayim Divrei Hames, but don't we hold like Rabbi Meir? You have to fulfill exactly what the mace wanted, right? So why here do we say, halacha l'maisa, you give them whatever they need? Hani mili b'milcha b'mili achranaisa. That's only in other areas. You say you follow exact other financial issues. You say you follow exactly what he wanted. Avol beha, but here we can assume. Menach nichale. Here we assume this is what he wanted. He wants his kids to be comfortable. He wants his kid to have enough that they need. Why then did he say this lashon, especially the one that says, Al titru, don't give them more? Lirzu zinhu hu da'asa. He just wants to be mizaris them. He wants them to feel as if, oh, they don't have so much, and therefore they would be industrious, right? They would work hard. They would be zrizim, right? That's all he's saying it for, but not that he doesn't want to give it to them. He wants them to feel as if the pressure is a little bit on, and that is why he gives it to them. Okay, two important discussions here in the Rishonim. One, we'll start with Tosfos. Tosfos asks an important question, and that is, we have two principles in Shas, and the question is, what do you need both of them? One of them is right here, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis, and the other one is, more in Gittin and elsewhere, Divrei Shchiv Meira Kechsuvin Uchimisurin Dami. The words of a Shchiv Meira, who is on his deathbed, is as if it's written and given over. And that's why there's flexibility. What a Shchiv Meira says, even if it doesn't say exactly the instructions that we would otherwise need, we allow breaking of regular rules to fulfill the words of a Shchiv Meira. So as Tosfos, third line, Yesh Makshim. Well, even do the first line, because that leads into the question. Tosfos says, the words of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis applies even by a Bari. Afil Babari Kaim Elohachi. Even if somebody is healthy, they're not on their deathbed. They're not about to die. Right? Even Babari. So Tosfos asks, Yesh Makshin, Kivan the Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis, since you have this principle of it's a mitzvah to fulfill whatever the mace wanted, Im Kain, my ahani, hoda divrei shchiv meira kechsuvin uchimisurin dami. So what do you need that second principle for? It's the same idea. Right? Doesn't matter if the person is healthy before they die or on their deathbed before they die. Either way, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. So why do you need both of the principles? So many different answers given in the Rishonim. Tosfos right here has two. Rabbeinu Tam says, V'yom Rabbeinu Tam, D'lo amrinan mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, ela kishehushlash mitchilo l'kach. Mitzvah l'kayim is where you already have a third party involved. You already gave the third party the money, and then he has the job to do what the mace instructed and gave him. That's where mitzvah l'kayim. But divrei shchiv meira, somebody's on their deathbed and says, give a get to my wife. Somebody's on the deathbed and gives other instructions where they weren't hushlash anything. They didn't appoint anybody particular and give the money already. Then you wouldn't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis because they didn't do anything yet, right? So that's why you need the other principle, Divrei Shchiv Meira, which allows other rules to be broken even though nothing happened yet. Number one, number two, Tosfos has another answer. Maybe Mitzvah L'Kayim only applies Nafka B'Meis Nosim B'Chayim Akabel. Maybe that only applies where you could have done something right now himself and he didn't do it. Divrei Shchiv Meira, even if he couldn't do what he wanted right now. Okay, another answer. The Ritva, the third we'll quote, is a fundamental answer, and that is, well, what kind of Lashon did he use? First the Ritva says, don't tell me that Mitzvah L'Kayim is a din l'chadchila, and Divrei Shchiv Meira is a din l'ikuva. Mitzvah L'Kayim means it's a nice thing, it's a mitzvah, it's a nice idea, but it's not an obligation. No, that's not an answer, because you see from other Gemaras, Mitzvah L'Kayim is even a halacha l'ikuva. But then he gives his own answer, after quoting Tosfos' answers. Aval hanachon, she'ein omer Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis, ela b'mi she'omer b'lashon tzava'a, she'omer asu kach v'kach. Mitzvah L'Kayim is where he commands. That's Mitzvah L'Kayim. Avalam Amar Balashin Matana, Nasati Dvar Ploni L'Ploni. Oh, Harini Nosein Dvar Ploni L'Ploni. Right, I'm giving a Matana, you know, so and so. He doesn't have a Lashon of, I command you to do this. He just expresses a Ratzon that's not as clear as it's Sivui, then you would not say, that's a Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. Right, then you need the other principle. Ein bazeh mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, l'ficha chutz ruchu l'taken, din tak matana shchimira, shehu mikmakne be'amira. So those are three different answers given. Just one other point, relying on mitzvah l'kayim, and that is the chakira amongst achronim. And that is, we just explained what's the difference between mitzvah and divrei shchimira. But then there's a chakira of, when you say mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, which is they're both the rabbanan, do we say that it still belongs to the Yarshim, the money, but it's a mitzvah to take it from them and give it to whoever the mace wanted? Or do you say even more? Is Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis, that means that halachically it's not Shel HaYarshim. It's as if it's given already. It's there's a schus to the people who the mace wanted already. That's an important chakira with nafkaminas of how wide-ranging do we say Mitzvah L'Kayim works. Does it work on a Devar Shabbala Olam? Does it work on a Devar Shein Bo Mamish? Does it work for items that usual kinyanim do not work? But if you say it's already given, so then maybe you don't need normal kinyanim. And just one other point in the Stechemed, he talks about, do you say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis if the person committed suicide? Rachmana Litzlan. This is in the Stechemed, which was the Talmudic Encyclopedia, before the Encyclopedia Talmudis, in Chelek Dalet, page 310. He says, do you say, Vim nomar din zed b'amir atzvol adas? He quotes, there was a sefer, the Pa'as HaSadeh, that had this case, and he gave a tzava, and then he drank some poison, and he killed himself, Rechmar al-Islan. And his children didn't want to listen to him, But he says, look what he did at the end of his life. You know, we want to follow through. So the Stechemet goes through, first why you shouldn't have to listen to him. The whole point of, Divrei Shchiv Meiran Misal HaKayim is, Shlo Titarev Daito. He's already obviously mature of Das. Right, you're not listening to him. So the whole thing shouldn't apply. And then he says, number two, he says, all of this flows from the idea of Kibunav. And if your father is a Rasha, Gamur, Ada Hasof, that's a machlokas we showed him, whether there's really a chiv of Kibunav, if a person's father is a Rasha, Eichnu Cholom, or Sheichai Lekayim Daito. And then he quotes other cases in Tanakh, but then at the end of the last three lines, which is the Halacha LaMaisa that he quotes here, he says, he says, this is only if you really, really, really know that it's halachically considered a suicide. He says, in almost all cases, there are ways that poskim could say that it wasn't a regular ma'abed aspo ladas. He was mentally, basically everybody who did it was probably mentally unstable. But I mean, nafkamina, right? Could you bury somebody, ma'abed aspo ladas, in a regular cemetery? Right, Me'ikara didn't know, but in almost all cases, Rahman al-Assam, where this comes up, we allow it. Why? Because we say the person was sick, the person was this, the person was that. We don't treat them like a real Ma'abed Asbol Adas. So that's what the Seichemet says 150 years ago, 160 years ago. He says, in all these cases, Rak Baderachi says, Ki Yadua, Ki Harbe Psachim, Ish Lahatzilas Anidon, Midei Din Ma'abed Asmo, Rak Baderach Rechoka, Yimsa Nidon Ma'abed Asmo, Rachman al-Islan, Viala Mora Lachkor Ulavarer Anidon, Va'oz Yeda, Im Larachik, Im Lakarif, Vahaya Hashem, Im Hashofet. So that's the Stechemet, again, a case of din, whether that whole idea applies in this context. Okay, let's continue. Last section of the parak. Tanan Hasam says the Mishnah, Ha-Pi'utos, Mechon Mekach, U-Memkaran Mekar B'Metaltalin. Pi'utos are Ketanim. Ketanim, though, that are old enough to have a certain level of Das. How old are Pi'utos? Rashi says here, about 8 or 9 years old. Tinokos b'nei teisha v'shmona, 8 or 9 years old, as is described in Gittin. So we say, even though midaraisa a katan is a lav bar das, but we say once they reach 8, 9 years old and they are precocious and they know what they're doing, we trust their business deals. Mechon mekach memkar memkar, we allow them to buy and to sell b'metaltalin by movable items, not by karka, but at least by movable items, less serious sales. So we allow them to be involved. Amarafram, lo shanu ela she'ein sham aputrapas. That's only if there's no agent, there's no guardian for them, that's when we allow them to do it. Avo ye sham aputrapas, ein mecha mechav, ein memkar memkar. But if the father had appointed, or bezdin, two types of aputrapas, right? Minu who bezdin, minu who the father, we're not getting into that now. But if there is an aputrapas, they're taking care of them, so they cannot do anything they want. Because obviously the aputrapas is there on behalf of them. And therefore, we don't allow them, right? We only allow them to do, pu'utos, to do it if there's a need. But if there's an aputrapas, ein mechon mechav, ein memkar memkar. But if there's an aputrapas there, we don't allow it. Mimai, how do you know that? Midaktani, from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, ein maisa ktana klum. Right, we say the end of our Mishnah, the whole issue by Mashlishmos and the girl having her own day against what her father says, that only applies to a gdola, but by a ketana, no. What a ketana does is nothing. So that's what our Mishnah says. Ein ma'isa ketana klum. And we're talking there that there's a shlish. So that's how you know whether a katan or a ketana's actions are meaningless when there is an aputrapas. Says the Gemara, v'dilma hechidik or shlish shiny. Well, maybe that's because there's a shlish, not a regular case of aputrapas. There's a shlish that the father gave the money to with specific instructions what to do with that money. That's where the katan uktana cannot undermine what the shlish says. But maybe it's not a raya for every general aputrapas just without any specific instructions. So where it says no, im kain, if it was a limited to the Mishnah, listening avo b'ktana ya'aseh shlish b'asho shlish b'yado. If it's specifically about a shlish, then you should use that lashon, which is a more limited language. Ma'i ein ma'isa ktana klum. What's this general statement that you can't, you don't rely on what the katan ktana does? Shmami no afilu ba'almas. That's why we say it must be in a more general statement where the apotropis has control and the katan is not allowed to act. Okay, Adulach, when we say Isha, this is discussions of Nedunya and other issues. One final point on this last sugya, and that is, so we allow ketanim to do business in certain cases. And the Rambam describes this in Perachav Tes of Hilchas Bechira, that ketanim are allowed, you know, Bisman Hazeh, we don't usually find 10-year-olds out in the marketplace, in the days of old, when everybody did things younger, they got married younger, and did business younger, so it was important. If they needed, if they didn't have anybody to take care of themselves, they had to fend for themselves, right? We know not too long ago, our 10, 12, 13-year-olds were already out there working. You know, it was a different world. So the Rambam describes this all as well. But to note, the Rambam says that we don't treat a katan like a gadol in all areas of business. There are certain areas that a katan, certain kinyanim, that are not allowed by a katan. A katan could do mishicha, a katan could do hagbah, he could pull, he could lift up, he could do various kinyanim, but he can't do chalipin. The Rambam says in Perachav Tes that v'chinim kanam yad hakatan o hasachir makam ha-metalton v'chazer bau lo kana ha-lokeach shein motzin miyad hakatan v'din v'ein ha-kinyin miyan hakatan klum. The kinyin chalipin by a katan is not effective. Ein kinyin miyad hakatan klum. Why is that? Why should kinyin chalipin be different? So the Rambam describes this himself back in Perek Hey of Hilchas Bechira. And this is expanded upon by all the Achronim. And that is, kinyin chalipin is a different type of chalipin than all other kinyanim. All other kinyanim, there's a maisa kinyan. You pull, you push, you dig, you star, there's always a maisa, you money. There's a maisa kinyan. What's a chalipin? I lift up a pen, I lift up a handkerchief. What am I doing? So the Achronim explain, the Rambam says it. Kini Chalipin is a concretization of the person's das. That's all it is. It's not doing anything with the acquisition itself. Right, we usually say, the way the Achronim say it is that there's usually two ingredients for every kinyan. There's a das kinyan and there's a maisa kinyan. There's the das that go to kavana and then the act of kinyan. Chalipin is purely das kinyan. There's no maisa kinyan, right? Why does somebody pick up a pen when they make the rabbi a shliach to tell their chametz? Are they being kona anything there? No. They're just concretizing their das that they are serious about what's going on here. So chalipin is a reflection of das. That's what the Rambam describes in Parakeh. And that's why many cases don't need chalipin. You did the kinyan. In many cases you do chalipin even though you don't need it, just to be sure, just to show that the person's serious. That's what chalipin is about. So that's why the Rambam says in Perachav Tes of Hilchas Bechira that a katan, even though, like our Gemara says, we allow them to do certain business deals, but not chalipin. Because chalipin is all about das, a high level das, and that doesn't apply by a katan. A katan is lavar das. And that's why the Rambam even says, the Rambam's lashon in Chav Tes Tes is that if kinyan chalipin is usually done with a shtar, and a katan can't do a shtar. Our girsa is shaha kinyan bishtar. A kinyan is usually done with a shtar, and therefore a katan doesn't sign on a shtar. Another girsa, it's looking on the side in the Shini Nischos of the Frankel, and Reb Chaim liked this girsa, he changes the beis to a chaf. Shaha kinyan kishtar. Not kinyan bishtar, but kishtar, meaning both of them are about a high level of das. Kinyan and a shtar, right? We had earlier, we discussed back on Daf Chaf. Tosfos says that an ingredient in shtar is called das ha-mischayif. You have to have the das of the committed person to write the shtar, or else it's what we call mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, the problem of writing edus b'shtar. So shtar and kinyan both have a high level of das that is required, and that is why a katan might be excluded, even though our Gemara here says he's included in certain areas, but he's not totally treated like a gadol. Okay, here we go. Seventh parak of Maseches Ksubis. Parak HaMadir. Remember, we discussed at the beginning of the sixth parak that some Rishonim have it flipped. Some Rishonim have a Madir before Metzias Isha. We don't. We discussed then in the first Tosfos in the sixth parak, you know, why the difference in the order. Rashi might have had the opposite order. Rabbeinu Chananel has our order, and this is how we learn it. HaMadir es Ishto Milah Nazlo. A person makes a neder that their wife is not allowed to get benefit from him. This is, by the way, why Maseches Nedarim is after Ksubis. Because we have a number of cases of Neder here in Maseches Ksubis, and that's why we have Nedarim, and once we have Nedarim, that's why we have Nazir, which is a form of a Neder, and that's why after Nazir, that's why we have Sota, because if somebody sees a Sota, they're going to become a Nazir. So it's all because of this Mishnah right here, and its type that we have the next four Masechtas in Seder Nashim. And then we get back to getting Kiddushin, Beth Hashem, at the end. But here it is. Hamadir es ishto milehen oslo. A person makes a neder that his wife cannot benefit from him. What does that mean? Rashi says, First Rashi and other Rishonim are not happy about this Rashi, but Rashi says, Ein hana'as tashmisho ne'esar aleha. Saying this has no effect on his tashmish amita with her because he has no rights. He has no rights to, as we've spoken about in the past couple of weeks, that each, the husband and the wife, have obligations to each other in the physical area, and therefore, this neder has no effect in terms of tashmish. To hamishubidla. Hilkach b'shol tashmish in lana lakufa lahotzi v'liting suba is just ineffective by tashmish. The Gemara is going to ask, so why is it affected by mizonos? He's also mishubid by mizonos. Right, Tosfos and the other Rishonim are bothered. Mimanafshach, according to Rashi, if he's mishubid in both, so why should it have one effect and not the other effect? Okay, so that's why Tosfos and the others have a little difficulty. But either way, we'll just go with Rashi. So if somebody makes a neder that his wife should not be able to get hanah from him, ad lamed yom yamed parnas. If it is a limited neder, just for a month, so then they could still live, they could still stay married, and he should appoint a parnas to be able to support his wife. We'll have to see in the Gemara why that helps anything. Isn't that just a shliach? But he can't do it with an intermediary. Yamed parnas, yes or mikam. But if it's more than a month, we say this is not a marriage. This is a rights for divorce. Yosi v'ting suba. He has to divorce her because, as we will see, many examples of the next couple of dafim. In terms of husbands and wives having to get divorced, if it's considered an undermining of the marriage itself, then if it's the husband's fault, then he has to divorce her and pay her ksuba. If it's the wife's fault, then he has to divorce her and not pay her ksuba. If it's something problematic externally, let's say the husband is just, whatever, he does some other avera, obsessively, and it's grounds for divorce. But if it's not undermining the marriage, right, but it is just undermining, you know, him, so then he would have to give the ksuba in any case, because it's not undermining the marriage. But here, it's his fault, and therefore he has to divorce her and pay her the ksuba. Tosfos has two deyas. How much Bezdin forces? Does Bezdin really beat him up in order for him to pay and give the ksuba? That's the first day of the re. While the Rabbeinu Hananeli quotes, no, it just means that we announce that he's an avar, you know, we put him at the cheirim and we do other things, but we don't physically kofet. 2 days in the Tosfos, Yibra Maskel Yotzi. So that is the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends. Be Yisrael, Chodesh Echad, Yekayim, Vishnaim Yotzi, V'yiteng Suba. For an Eishas Yisrael, who could get remarried if they get divorced? So we have that limit. 1 month he could keep her, and into the second month, then he has to give a ksupa. But Kohen, but by an Ashes Kohen, because the stakes are higher, because once divorce takes place, he cannot take her back, then we give an extended time. Shnayim Yekayim, 2 months he keeps her, Shlosha Yosef Yideng Ksupa. Part one of the Mishnah of three parts. Part two. Hamadris Ishto Shlotito Machad Mikala Peros. Somebody makes a neder that his wife cannot eat some type of fruit. Rashi explains here that it's really she made the neder, and he was mekayim it. Rashi, konam pri ploni alai, she says, I will never eat another orange. Oranges are usher to me. And he's mekayim it. Hu kiyem alai, as we know, mitzvah, the kiyum and hafara. So, yotzi v'yiteng ksuba. So here too, as we said, we used the lashon earlier, hu nasan espa bein shineha. He was mekayim this neder, and therefore he has to divorce her and pay her ksuba, because she can't function with having a certain type of food that is usher on her. Tosfos is printed. This other printed on the next daf, on the top of tomorrow's daf. Ayin alf and alf top Tosfos. Tosfos says lav b'chol peiros madula. We're not talking about a case where she ushered all fruit in the world, and he was mekayim it, because that's an impossibility, Tosfos says. And that's like something impossible, therefore the neder is not chal. It's like somebody makes a neder that they're going to fly to the moon. That's just nothing. Somebody makes a neder, they're not going to sleep for 3 days. Right? That's nothing. That's meaningless, because it's impossible. So Tosfos says, not eating fruit, all fruit, is also impossible. So that's why he wouldn't eat, it would be meaningless. It wouldn't be a neder. It means one fruit. One type of fruit, Tosfos says. Shlotitom b'min echad shebeperus. That's possible. Right, maybe nowadays we would say it about vegetables. Right, and not just, not fruit. Either way, so that's the case of Yotiv Yiteng Ksuba. And again, Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer bi Yisrael, Yom Echad Yekayim, Shnayim Yotiv Yiteng Ksuba, by an Eishas Yisrael. 1 day, this is 1 day now, not 1 month. Yom Echad Yekayim, Shnayim Yotiv Yiteng Ksuba. So that is part two of the Mishnah. And finally, part 3. Hamadras Ishmosho Taskashid Bechan Mikol Aminim. Right, there's a neder. Again, Pashas, we'll see in the Gemara that she makes the neder, he's Bekayimit, that there is some type of jewelry that she cannot wear. So Taskashi Bechan Mikol Aminim. Again, something that is part and parcel of a woman's existence. Yotzi V'iteng Suba, he has to divorce her. Rabbi Yossi Omer, it depends. Be'aniyus, by women, poor women who aren't used to wearing so much ornaments, shalonas and kitzvah. The only time he will have to be Yotzi V'iteng Suba is if it's infinite. There's no specific end in sight, and therefore, he has to give the ksuba. But if there's a finite amount, we'll see if there's any limit, so then he could keep her. Uba ashira shloshim yom. But an ashira who is used to wearing this type of jewelry, so then it is 30 days. She's used to it. Says the Gemara. 1 second, back to the first line. The kivan de mishubit la hechimati madir la. If he is mishuba to give her mizonos, as we have discussed back in the fourth parak and the fifth parak, all the chiyuvim, right? Mizonos tachas masi adeha, he has a chiyuv to give her mizonos. Say hechimati madir la. So what kind of neder could he do? Kol kamine demafkalo the shibude? Can he uproot his shibud? Ditna batnan. Right, we have the other way. Right, we have the Mishnah Dharm that we had twice already. Konem sheni osa laficha. If she says, my maisi adaya, my earnings are usher to you, eino tsarech lahafer. He doesn't even have to be made for it because she's not allowed to take such a neder. Alma, so what do you see? Kivan de mishabdale. Since she is meshubit to him by earnings, lavkal kamina, de mafka leila shibude, then she can't be mafkia, that shibud. So achanami, so too in the other direction. Kivan de meshubit la, since he is meshubit to support her with mizonos, lavkal kamina, de mafka leila shibuda. So he shouldn't be able to do this. So just like the Mishnah Nedarim says that she can't do it, so to here, he shouldn't be able to do it. What's the difference between him and her? Answer number one. Ella, mitoch shiachal omer la, tzimasi yadayach v'mizono sayach. Well, he could say to her, you know what, keep your earnings and I'm not going to give you mizonos. So he could say that. So you see, he has a way out. He has a way of not giving mizonos. So since he can say that, we treat it as if he did say that. Naaseh ka'omer lo tzimasi adayich b'mozonosayich. So we treat it as if that is what he did. Right? He said, keep your earnings and I won't have to give you mizonos. Rabbi Chanan here has the ha'ara. 1 second. What's the lumdis? We know that the husband is a chiyuv mizonos. So when he says, keep your earnings, I won't have to give you mizonos, what happened there? I might have thought, says Rabbi Chanan, that when a man says that, conceptually, what happened to her earnings? It went to the husband, and then he's mocking it back to the woman. That's what I might have said. Because the earnings go to him. Mizonos tachas basi adayim. He doesn't give her mizonos. What about the earnings? He gets it and gives it back. Says Rabbi Chanan, but if that was true, then we'd be stuck here. Because what does our Mishnah say? He made a neder not to give her hana. So he's not giving her mizonos. So if really, conceptually, he gets the earnings and then gives it back, it would also be a violation. And he wouldn't be able to do that. So what do you see from here? Says Rabbi Chanan, when a person says, "Si masi adayach mizonos sayach," it's not that he gets it. He's being mafkia the chiv totally. So he never gets it. He doesn't give mizonos and her earnings are hers and never comes to him and goes back to her. Because that's, unless you say, if you don't say that, then you're still stuck. Because he's still being mahana her. It must be that he's just allowing her to keep what's rightfully hers. That's not called hana for an iser nether. That's what it must be, says Rabbi Chanan right here in the Kovet Shiur.
Are we now saying that concept is limited to 30 days?
Are we saying that concept is limited? No. Just the nether. Meaning if she agrees to it, because if he just says that, then there's no nether involved. There might be a case where he decides not to. He doesn't, you know, so it's as if, I think that, because pas pesalo kind of, that it's not a neder, so it's less extreme. So I don't think that would be, limited. I don't think. Okay. Viter, the im isa, but 1 minute, the im isa lahad rav huna marav. What about the following? Dam rav huna marav. We said this is the case explaining the Mishnah Ksubis, but let's get back to the Mishnah Nedarim. Yechol isha shetom alabayla, ini nizonas veini oseb, that the woman is, right, we had this earlier. What's the Iker and what's the Tafel? Mizonos or Maisi Adayim? So Rav Huna Marav says that she could say, you know what? Don't feed me and I'll keep my earnings. Meaning she's in control. Yechola Yishes Don LaBayla Inizad Ben Yoseh. So then we should say the same thing about the Mishnah Nedarim. Konem Shani Yoseh LaPicha Amai Eino Tzarach LaAfer. So why do we say in the Mishnah Nedarim that he doesn't have to be made for it? Lema. Why don't we say exactly how we just explained our Mishnah? Mitok Sheyechola Lomar Eini Nizonis Ben Yoseh. Just like she could say. That case, I'm gonna keep my earnings. Nasa kemisha omeres lo inizonis v'ni yosef. We should treat it as if she said it. Just like we said in our Mishnah. His nether works because it's as if he said it. So too in that Mishnah, we should say her nether works because it's as if she said it. So that answer, that shot of the Mishnah doesn't work. Ella, answer number two. Lo tema na'ase. Don't say it's as if. Ella be'omerla. He actually said it. That's why our Mishnah works. The nether works. Because it's a case where he's not feeding her. But Omer Lotzi Masi Yadayach B'mezon Asayach. He actually said that in our Mishnah. You don't say Ki'ilu. He said it. And that's why the nether works. Says the Gemari Hachi Parnas Lamali. Lamala. One second. But if he said it, he doesn't have to give her Mizonos. So what is this a Yamed Parnas for? She's keeping the Masi Yadayim. He's not giving her Mizonos. So what does he need to support her for at all? B'delo Safka. It's a case where there's not enough. Her earnings don't cover what she needs. And that's why he has to have a parnas. So says the Gemara, then move back to the problem. If it's not enough, so then he has a chiyah to support her. And because he has to be mamad a parnas, he has to support her, then there shouldn't be chal. So we're back to the question. So Amar Ravashi, b'maspekas l'dvarim gedolim v'ena maspekas l'dvarim ketanim. Well, it's enough for most things. It's enough for most, the big things that her maisi dam are enough for, just not for a couple of details. So Gemara says, "Hani dvarim katana mechidami." What's the case? Ida regila bahu. If it's small things that she's used to, she's accustomed to. Ha regila bahu. So she's accustomed to it. So he has a chiyuv. Ve'ilo regila bahu. And if it's not something that she's used to, parnas lamalai lamala. So why should he have to support her? So what's the case that it's extra that he has to give a parnas for? So letzricha de regila beis nasha. It's a case where she was accustomed to it before she was married. When she was in her father's house. We're going to go with Rashi's pshat. And now when she's married, you know what? She's mavateres. She's like, okay, I'm married now. It's worth it for me to sacrifice. I'm living with this great guy. That I won't get these certain extra luxuries that I usually get. But now you know what she says? Ado in the low adart galgilna bahadach. Till now that I lived with you and we had a normal relationship. So then it was worth it for me. I was mavater on these things. But hashada dartan lo matina di galgo bahadach. But now you are madir and I'm usher to you. So, you know, from Mizona. So I want these things that I'm accustomed to back. And therefore, that's why he has to give a parnas. So what's the limit of shloshim yom then? If he's giving her a parnas, so ad shloshim yom lamshami ba in shiblo zila ba milsa, up until 30 days, he could keep a secret. People aren't going to find out about this. It's not so embarrassing for her. She'll be able to deal with it. Tfei, but more than 30 days, shami ba in shiv zila ba milsa. It's embarrassing. And therefore, if she demands and we would be kofa for the get with exuba, that's what we would say. Okay, that is all pshat number, the first answer that's accepted. Meaning, what's the difference between the Mishnah Ksubis and the Mishnah Nedarim? The Mishnah Ksubis is, our Mishnah, is a case where he says, see Masi Yadak Mizono Sayich, and therefore that's why the Neder is Chal. Right, we have to come up with a case where the Neder is Chal. Right, so that he's allowed to make a Neder, that he's not going to give him Mizonos. So, pshat number one is where he said, keep your Masi Yadak, I'm not giving him Mizonos. Pshat number two other cases. Ivayas Ema Shehidira Kshiarusa. Maybe he was Madir when she was an Arusa, meaning he didn't have the Chiyav Mizonos yet. And that's why the Neder was Chal. So like Mora says, Arusa Miesle Mizone. So why do you have a Parnas involved? So he had no Chiyav Mizonos. Ah, Shigiazman Velo Nisu. Maybe the 12 months between Arusin and Nisuin are up, and they didn't get married, right? We have this in the first half. Right, 70 days ago, almost. Right, Igiyas Mavalonisu. Titzan, the Mishnah, we also had a few days ago. Right, we had it, the Mishnah is back on the Dafnun Zion. Titzan, the Mishnah says, there, Igiyas Mavalonisu, if 12 months came and they didn't get married, and let's say it's his fault, Ochlas Bishalov, Ochlas Bishuma, then he already has a Chiyav of Mizonos. And even if he's a Kohen, then the Xeris Durabban and I'm not giving her Truma also fall away. And he gives her. So that's the case, again, that he can make the neder, it was chal, because he had no chiv, but then he has to support her because it was the end of the 12 months. Umayishna, and Rashi explains, the chiv mizonos is drabanan, and the neder is chal daraisa. That's where the neder is still chal. Umaishna ad shloshim yom. So again, why 30 days? Ad shloshim yom of it shliach shlichuse. Up until 30 days, we can assume the shliach will continue to do a shlichus. Tfeilo of it shliach shlichuse. After that, you're not sure how long the shliach is going to do what you ask him to do. The first 30 days is still new, and you can trust him. After that, it's not as clear. Answer number two. Third and final answer, V'bayis ema shehidirek shiarusa v'niseis. Not that the 12 months passed, but they got married. So he made an eder when she was an arusa, and then she became a nesua. Says the Gemara, niseis hasavra v'kibla. But if she got married, she had nisuin in this state, so why don't we say she was mocheles? Right, she got married in the state of neder. So Gemara says, da'amra, no, kisvura anisha anicholo l'kabel, achshav ina anicholo l'kabel, I thought I could live with it. But I realize this is crazy. This is not a marriage. So she says, I can't deal with it. Says the Gemara, one second. Amar darmin hachi lagabi mumin. Lini mezoni mi amrina hachi. Fine regarding physical deformities or other mumin. So I realize that we accept her taina of, I don't think I could deal with it. But by mizonos, do we say that? She knew! What changed here? She knew that, she does not getting mizonos and she's gonna earn. So Gemara says, okay, fine. Go back to one of the first two answers. This one doesn't work. Period. Next section of the Mishnah. Ad shloshim yom yamed parna. So we say up until 30 days, he has to appoint a parnas to support her. Says the Gemara, the kasha we asked. U parnas lav shlichuse ka'avid. Isn't the parnas doing his shlichus? How does that help? He made a neder, so he could use a parnas. Right? What's the havamina? Says the shin mukubetzes. The havamina is where he goes over to somebody and says, please support my wife. So, how does that work? Says the shita. Shlucho shel adam kemoso. And therefore, if he can't do it, then the shliach shouldn't be able to do it. So, why is it okay that he could use a parnas? So, the Gemara answers, amar afuna, no. He didn't appoint somebody. But rather, he used this lashon. But Omer kol hazan eino mafsid. It's where he says, if anybody fees my wife, they will not lose. He says a more general backhanded lashon. If anybody fees my wife, they will not lose. Let's continue and then we'll get back to that lashon. V'chiyamer ha'chilav shluchusei kavid. What? That's not considered a shliach? That type of lashon is not a shliach, but it's not. But the Mishnah says in Gittin, Mishal yimushlach ba'bor. If somebody's in a bor, va'amar, he's in the bottom of a pit and he screams up, kol ha'shomea kolo yichtov get le'ishto. Whoever hears my voice, please write a get for my wife. Hare'elu yichtov v'yinu. And by ksibi haget, you have to have the shliach of the baal, the sofer. So it's the same lashon, kol ha'shomea koli. Right, so why here is it good enough not to be a shliach, and over there it's good enough to be a shliach? So Gemara says, "Hachi Ashta, wait a minute. Hasam ka'amar yichtov. Over there he gives specific instructions. Write the get. Hacha mi ka'amar yazun. Does he say here, give mizonos? Kolazon ka'amar. He just gives the noun. Anyone who feeds. Doesn't say feed. Whoever hears this, feed my wife. No. He just says, whoever feeds is great. That's all he says. So that's why it works. Says the Gemara, v'ho amar bi ami bidleika hitiru, only in a specific case of there's a fire on Shabbos. And we know if we don't give a person an allowance, he's just going to put the fire out himself. So we give a special allowance to say, bidleika hitiru lomar kolam achabe no mafsid, trying to get a non-Jew to do it. So you could say, whoever puts out my fire will not lose. So, bidleika lemute mai. So what is that excluding? Lav lemute ki agavna. Isn't that excluding basically all other cases? Right, lav lemute ki agavda. Rashi says, "B'kol yisurin shabbat Torah." So, meaning all other cases, it is considered a shliach. Lo lemute shar yisurim de Shabbos. It's only excluding other Shabbos yisurim, which are more chamor, but other issues in life, other yisurim, it would be mutter. It would not be called a shliach. Just let's continue to the two dots, and I'll make one final comment. Masav Rabba. So now Rabba asks similarly. Hamudur hana mecha ve'ruvein lo mayochal. If somebody makes a neder, Ruvain is mudur hana from Shimon. And they're walking along, and Shimon has nothing to eat, and Ruvain has stuff to eat. He wants to give him some food. He feels bad. Ve'in lo mayochal, yelech etzel chan ve'niyaragel etzlo. So Ruvain should go to the storekeeper that knows him, ve'yomer lo, and say to him, ish ploni mudur hana mimeni ve'eni yodeh ma'eselo. Shimon, I'm not going to give him benefits. I wish I knew what to do. So, that's all he says. Hu nasei la, and therefore the storekeeper gets the idea, so he gives Shimon food, he comes back and gets paid from Reuven. So Reuven didn't give it. Or, and then what do we say there? Hachiyu d'shari. Maybe only this totally indirect lashon is allowed. Right? Like I'm talking. I'm not even talking to you. I'm just talking. I was mudra anav from Shimon. I wish I knew what to do. Avo kol hazan eino mafsilo. But isn't the lashon of kol hazan more specific? And that lashon would be considered a shliach? The Gemara said, no, lo mi boi kamar. No, don't make that diyuk. Lo mi boi kol hazan eino mafsid. Not only there is that allowed. Dilla alma kamar, where you don't have anybody specific in mind. You say, kol hazan. Aval hai, keeping the rug less low. Since this is your normal storekeeper, v'ka'azil, you always go there, and you went there, ka'amar le, k'man da'amar le zil havli at d'mei. So you're basically telling him, go give him and I'll pay you. So maybe that's worse. Kamash Malan, that is why, that's the Chiddush. But really, Kalazan would also be an okay Lashon not to be called the Shliach. The Shaila here the Ritva deals with is, if somebody says this about his wife, Kalazan, do they have to pay the guy back? The case of the storekeeper, you pay the guy back. He's rugged and slow. But do you have to pay this guy back? So the Ritva here says, no. That's the whole point. If you're not a shliach, the Ritva says, you can't say the guy's going to have to pay back, or else that'll undermine. Ritva's lashon here, Pierce, b'chia gavna, ilo lo haya ro, if the Baal wants to, he can, but that'll be a matan, a ba'alma. Maker, then he does not need to. Pierce, b'chia gavna, ilo lo haya rotze, ba'al lefro, lo klum, arishos b'yado. Umay David parnas b'didei David. He's just doing it for himself. Right, and Vidafko, Baomer came there a klal, kolazani no mafsid. Alo Baomer lachaveiro, im tazun lo tafsid. If you feed, you won't lose, that's not good enough. It has to be general, kolhazan eino mafsid. Some achronim say maybe this issue of the Ritva is totally on there's another Tosfos in Mesechas Gittin, and Daf Samachvav, that really talks about what is the exception, what is the rule. When we talk about Nedarim versus Gittin, and versus, like our case is Nedarim, what's the rule, what's the exception? Is it that Mudr Hana has a very high standard? Or is it that Gittin has a more flexible standard? So, you might be Mechalik, you might be a Machlokas Rishonim, whether the husband would have to pay back in the end. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll stop by Gufa, and Be'ez Hashem, we will continue in this 7th Perek of Mesechas Ksubis, tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here.